is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A tradition unlike any other was slightly delayed this morning, but we are underway in round one of the Masters from Augusta National, and we are underway right here on this Thursday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonatoni with you. Michael, how we doing today?
We are great, Stormy. Masters weekend, you gotta love it. The weather moved out, no problem with the delay, and now we got some wind, which always makes it fun. So sit back and enjoy the ride. This is the best tournament for me to watch. I know Gary Player thought it was the fourth ranked in his rankings. I'm not sure I get that, but nonetheless, I'm enjoying it, and we've still got football to talk about. We got the Masters, and you know, you're getting ready for that NBA playoffs. I know you are, Stormy.
Oh, yes, of course. The last couple games of the regular season are a proverbial bleep show, but we'll see how things play out and who ultimately cements their seeding. But you said it. We've got a lot to get to on the program today. Lots of NFL with the draft now officially 2 weeks away as well from Detroit. Coming up in a half an hour, VSiN's own Mike Somich, professional handicapper, host of The Handle. He'll join us, give out some of his favorite plays and thoughts, as well as Mike Palm, the last half hour of the program in hour two, like he does every Thursday. Palm's pressing three. It's been a minute since we've got that in, so excited to have Mike Palm join us on set. But let's start off here real quickly with some of these early thoughts on the Masters, because that star grouping, Michael, is going to get underway in about 10, 12 minutes or so. World number one, plus 450 favorite to win it all. Scottie Scheffler, as well as Rory McIlroy, Xander Schauffele, set to tee off here soon. Schauffele, my SDSU guy, you know I have to root for him.
Absolutely. You know, and look, I think wind certainly plays a factor. The new par, the lengthening of the par five is going to play a factor. You know, what 15 does, I think it's going to be interesting to see. We haven't been exposed to this, you know, as non-members to Augusta. So we don't know exactly how this is going to shape up when the pros come down there. But, you know, Monday, to me, these are the 2 days where all you're trying to do is get a feel for the course and stay within contention, and then Saturday and Sunday is when you have to do it. It's hard to have what Tiger did, what was it, 99, when he went coast to coast and dominated the field. I think the clear thing that the Masters does and Augusta National Country Club does is they review the course after every year, and they make changes to the course that they feel will put more intrigue into the game, like lengthening the par two to put the bunker in play, or just doing things to make the game more challenging and have you shape shots. Because we know, you know, Bubba Watson, a left to right player, was still able to win the tournament. Lee Trevino did it left to right, but it's always hard to do that. It favors the right to left player here, but they've been able to overcome it like Mickelson has done in the past. And he's out there. I think he's one over on the day right now.
Yeah, and the most well-known player having success here early, Bryson DeChambeau, tied at 3 under for the best score so far. But obviously, we are just getting underway. A long, long way to go here for Masters weekend. And because of this weather, Michael, it appears that today is going to be the worst of it. That overnight rain and everything that we saw early this morning with the severe thunderstorms. The rest of the weekend, Friday through Sunday, should be relatively warm, sunshine, beautiful conditions for these players. So I'm excited for that. But what I'm not excited for is my Tiger to make the cut bet right now, Michael, because his tee time today with this delay, 2+ hours for all of these players, has pushed him to starting at 1 o'clock my time, 4 Eastern, which means the sun's going to be setting earlier on his round, probably not going to finish it. So any of that hope I had of him getting off to this great start is probably going to come down to a crashing halt tomorrow if he has to play 24. The course is so hilly. I worry about his body holding up. So when I heard that news this morning, I was like, okay, well, there goes that idea.
Yeah, well, I mean, don't give up on it yet, because look, I mean, he's got an opportunity. It depends, too, on the weather conditions. You know, as the rain came in, and obviously the drainage system, and look, I'm no groundskeeper, but this course drains very effectively. And they said it was playing with a lot of firmness. And I think certainly the first group out with the rain will benefit the greens, and it'll take a little bit of an adjustment, you know. But once you get that feel for it, and if it stays the way it does, I think Tiger, look, it's going to be hard for Tiger. We know that. At his age, we know it's difficult to walk this course and do all the things, especially when you've got a lot of hardware in your body. But if anybody can, it's Tiger. I'd never rule him out. I wouldn't give up on it yet, Stormy. I wouldn't pull a Will Hill and give up on the bet already.
All right, I appreciate you. That's true. He hasn't even teed off yet, so maybe I should relax. And to your point about the weather, last year...
I think Will Hill's influenced you way too much. I think there's nobody who gives up more on their bets before they, after one bad shot than Will Hill. And now he's influencing you.
See, that's what happens when we spend two full days together at the start of the week while you were in the Bahamas. I was getting influenced. But to your point, though, about the weather, last time when Tiger had to withdraw, it was like windy and cold conditions. The warmth maybe will help the back and knees out a little bit here. As we mentioned off the top, we are 2 weeks away from the NFL draft as well. And with that comes some burning questions that producer Elliot and I have put together to get us started here today. And I'm going to start at the very top of the draft, Michael, because we know and at least presume Caleb Williams is going to go number one overall to the Chicago Bears. With that, are the Bears a playoff team, Michael?
You know, we were on the pod today, Ben Wilson and I, and he kept asking about what's the next Houston, right? What team could be the next Houston? And certainly with Caleb Williams' ability and the roster that they have assembled in Chicago defensively, and if they stay healthy, you know, you got to believe this team could become that. Now, that staying healthy certainly got to be an issue because we know Swift is the third team in 3 years. You know, can he stay healthy and be the player that we all think he is? Two teams said that's not true, but I think he's still a good player. I do think that they can improve. Now, the problem is Green Bay's really good. And Minnesota has yet to be determined whether they're going to be really good or not. They're going to add more players. They're going through a little bit of a rebuilding year, and it depends on who's going to be the quarterback alongside of Sam Darnold. So I could go for the Bears. I think they have the Bears or the Patriots, to me, fit the category the best of what the Texans did last year, which is if they get a quarterback to come in and play at a high level behind a new offensive coordinator, they can make that jump forward. We'll see.
Yeah, see if one of them can go from worst to first. The Bears currently, in terms of the odds in the NFC North, third on the board at plus 265. The Lions, who made it all the way to that NFC championship a year ago, plus 150. Green Bay, plus 210. The Bears are minus 120 to make the playoffs next year. We'll see if they can do it with their new QB1. And as we look at all these mock drafts that continue to come out, Michael, a lot of people don't put trades in their mock. But as we're getting closer to the draft, we're seeing more and more of them in there. And one thing that has been fairly consistent is the Vikings trying to trade up into one of those spots to get a quarterback. Which teams to you seem the most poised to make a move and trade up in this year's draft?
Well, I think there's a few of them, right? I mean, the Raiders certainly could. We know that, right? I mean, the Raiders signed Gardner Minshew. You know, they're thinking about moving up. I could see Penix being a guy that the Raider organization, particularly Mark Davis, would like. I think the Giants are in play, as I wrote about in the column. I mean, why would John Mara say if they felt like they were going to move up and they loved the guy, I would support it. And then Joe Sheen comes back and says, you know, if they go 1, 2, 3, 4, we'll get the second best non-quarterback in the draft. Well, clearly that's what he thinks is going to happen. So he didn't rule out picking a quarterback. He just ruled out that he basically said to get one of the four, you're going to have to get to the top four. Does that mean they trade up? I don't know. But I think, to me, the Giants, I think Minnesota, and I think the Raiders are the ones in play. Because, look, New England has one quarterback on their roster, essentially. Bailey Zappi's there, but Bailey Zappi, you know, we know that he got cut last year. He tried to come back and play, not the same player. And you got that situation. So how else are they going to get a quarterback without Jacoby? They need somebody next to Jacoby Brissett. You know, Washington just has Marcus Mariota. They need somebody. So, you know, those two teams, based on their depth charts, are going to pick quarterbacks. It's what does Arizona do and what can Arizona get? And I think all this trade-up talk is really what Arizona wants. This is the best thing for Arizona, out there trying to sell the pick with nobody without having to sell the pick.
Do you have, Michael, a favorite prospect in this year's draft? And I know we talk so much about quarterbacks, but you can go anywhere on the board here. Just a player that really stands out to you that you think can be a difference maker at the next level?
Well, I think Dallas Turner certainly can help a lot of teams, right? And I think there's no question that his ability to come in and rush the passer is what a lot of teams need. And I think that could be – I think the Alt kid from Notre Dame – is going to be a really good pro. I think anytime you can get a left tackle in a draft like this, I think it's a great opportunity. Those are always for me, Stormy, the free agent, the players that I like the most are the ones that can impact the game and come in and make a difference in the fronts in the defense, offensive and defensive line. That is the sense of the game, and that's where it all comes from.
Yeah, Dallas Turner, the favorite to be the first defensive player off the board, and Joe Alt of Notre Dame, his draft position sitting at 8.5, -7.5, -220 to go under, +180 over. So the projection is he is that best offensive tackle up front wherever you're going to go. What do you believe is this draft's biggest strength? I feel like tackle is one that has been talked a lot, wide receiver as well. What do you feel?
I think it's offensive linemen. I mean, I think it's really the offensive linemen, whether it's the Fanous kid from Penn State, who's really a very good player, right? You've got Fauga from Oregon State. Man, this is challenging me today, Stormy. I'm going to need a lot of help here. Latham from Alabama. You know, you've got so many of these guys to go along with Alt. And look, you could say, well, we can get a guard in a later round. Can you? Can you really? You know, and I think to me, that's going to be the strength of this draft. There's so many guys in that category that are going to be really solid players. And if you can't get the right guy, then it's pretty good to take a solid player. You know, there was one year where two guards went in the top 10 picks. Yeah. Now, they didn't work out. They did not work out at all. But you could see it, because if you're going to keep that pocket firm, and we know based on what, you know, the Carolina Panthers paid Robert Hunt, $20 million a year, guards have tremendous value. Why not pick him in the first round?
No question about it. By the way, with Fashanu, we just call him Olu. There's a lot of letters in that first name. Olu Fashanu, all you got to do. We're going to hit the break. News or noise coming back. Plenty more NFL talk on the way. This is the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't checked out the new and improved VSiN.com, now's the time. All of that same great content you're used to, but with a fresh new look. You have all of our VSiN hosts and experts, best bets, the betting splits page, exclusive articles, including a weekly column from our own Michael Lombardi, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides, and a whole lot more at VSiN.com.
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise.
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
And it's good to start with something from an NFL insider here, Michael, because this isn't actually a report. This is something that was said on NFL Live earlier this week from Adam Schefter that... are we reading into a little too much or not? So he said that the Cowboys might be a sleeper candidate to draft a quarterback in this year's draft, saying at some point in time, they might have to draft a quarterback higher than you'd think with Dak going into the final year of his contract. Might be time to get someone in there and start grooming him. Is that news or noise, Michael?
Oh, I think it's huge news. And I don't think Schefter would say that if he didn't know more than what he's saying. That's the one thing you always do when it comes to Adam's reports. He couches it so that he protects the person, give him the information. He dangles it out there. He kind of knows more than he's saying on pretty much everything. And he wants to get it out there, but he doesn't want to get it out there where it's a definitive, because obviously we know everything could change. But look, I think Dallas is in the same spot that Minnesota was in with Kirk Cousins. Enough is enough. We've paid a lot. He wants more, more, more. And you have no leverage if you don't get a quarterback. And I think Jordan Love has enticed people to want to go down this road. I think this is news. I think it's valid. And I think it's something, if I were Jerry Jones, I would definitely do.
Michael, you know what my first thought was when I heard this? What does that say about Trey Lance, who you went out and grabbed from the 49ers?
Yeah.
Like, I thought that's what you were trying to do with him, is groom him. But clearly, I mean, he's not even 24 years old. You're paying him $5.3 million, and no belief there if you go and draft a quarterback, that's for sure.
Well, they know him, right? So they've watched 17, 18, 19 weeks of practice, and they can see him, and they can go in and have a really good idea about what the player's capable of doing without having game time. So I do think they're comparing this draft crop to Trey Lance. And if Jerry was sold on Trey Lance, I don't think Adam would have this report. I think you're dead on accurate, Stormy.
We go from Schefter to Scheffler. World number one, Scotty Scheffler and his wife are expecting their first child, Michael. And he told reporters that should his wife Meredith go into labor, he's going to leave the Masters. I mean, you think about it. He's already won one a couple years ago. This is his first child. But news or noise, if she goes into labor early, Scheffler's out of there.
I think it's news. I mean, I think it's big time news. You know, I don't know if Mrs. Scheffler wants him to leave, but, you know, obviously he wants to support his wife. You know, I don't know. I was in there. I couldn't look, but I was there. I'm sure knowing my wife, if I had a chance to win a tournament, she would say, you stay there. I'll take care of this. But, you know, times are a-changing, and I think ultimately that comes down between the couples. I know that I would not give up the opportunity to win a championship if my wife thought I should stay. But if she wanted me there, then obviously we know who makes that decision.
Yeah. Sam Burns.
See how politically correct I was on
well
that?
Well done. Well played.
What would you do, Stormy? What would you do on that? Like, let's take a hypothetical here. You know, Chris's got a chance to win the Masters Saturday. You go into labor. You want him by your side or you want the green jacket?
I mean, this isn't fair asking me this.
I know your answer.
This isn't fair asking me this because of, like, who I am and, like, the way that I was raised as an all-sports-all-the-time human being.
I know your answer.
Go get the green jacket and bring that cash home, homie. But not everybody's like that. And I'll say it's not only Scotty Scheffler, Sam Burns' wife. Apparently her due date is, like, next week as well. So both of them potentially on their way out if their wives go into labor. According to...
I mean, horrible timing by both.
Awful.
I mean, you got to go... You got to say, look, we got to keep April clear on birthdays, right?
Aren't you supposed to plan these things out? Come on, man. According
exactly.
to DraftKings, house rules, if either withdraws from the tournament after they have already begun, full tournament bets will be graded as losers. So keep that in mind if you did take the plus 450 on the favorite in this spot. We talked a little bit earlier about the Raiders potentially trading up in the draft. And according to a report from ESPN's Paul Gutierrez, owner Mark Davis has, quote, given his blessing for Tom Telesco and Antonio Pierce to make a move, any move, so long as it makes sense. News or noise, Michael?
Oh, I think it's news because last year the Raiders were trying to move up to get a quarterback and the price was so steep. I don't think that Mark Davis felt it was the right value for the deal, whether it was for Stroud or for Young, but they were in play for the first pick in the draft last year. There's no question they were in play. And then Carolina blew him out of the water and made this incredible offer. And I think Mark Davis was kind of, I would say not happy, but I think Mark Davis was like, are we going to give up all this for an undersized quarterback? You know, part of Mark Davis running the team is he still has a lot of his father's legacy within his education. So, yeah, I could see that. I could see them doing that. I think it's really on Telesco to figure out which one they would have to move up to get. Is it Drake May? Who is it? You know, what would they have to do? Could they stay where they are and get Penix behind Minnesota at 11 and they're 13? That remains to be seen. But the one thing is, if they went up to 7 or 8, it's not going to be as costly as going to 3.
Yeah. My thought is I feel like they'll be able to get Penix where they are at just sitting there, and he would be a great option in my brain. But if you want a franchise guy and you really believe in one of those top three, you're willing to pull out all the stops. We'll see how that shakes out. One thing I do know for sure is Gardner Minshew's not the future and Aiden O'Connell sure as hell is not. Let's go to college basketball, Michael, where John Calipari had his introductory press conference and had some mixed feelings on the state of the Hogs program. Take a listen.
I'm jacked about another opportunity. Like, I'm like, let's go. Now, I met with the team. There is no team. So now I got to. Hunter's really extremely confident, but we got to get a roster together. And some of it is a little bit of everything, but we will.
First off, I feel very uncomfortable seeing him in that color. But secondly, news or noise, Michael, that Cal met with the team. There is no team.
Well, I think it's news because there is no team at USC, the one that Musselman's meeting with. Yeah. There is no team at SMU. There is no team when the new coach of Kentucky gets appointed. I mean, this isn't an Arkansas problem. This is an NIL issue. There is no teams. They change all the time. And so, like, don't tell me whoever gets the Kentucky job's meeting with 12 guys who are ready to go. We already know they're out of the draft, right? We know that. So this is just the league that we're in. It's not an Arkansas problem. It is a NIL issue. And it's going to continue to be that way. Look, Indiana State, I think, lost their whole team because their coach went to St. Louis. So now, you know, you've got all those things happening at every level, whether it's a Power Five or whether it's the MAC or whether it's, you know, the American Athletic Conference, whatever it is, it's going to change. So, look, I think, you know, what's fascinating to me, Stormy, is Cal received a hero's welcome in Arkansas. I mean, a hero's welcome. Did you see the standing ovation that John Hunt got for when they announced it? They're in the stadium. They're in the basketball arena. It looks like it's packed. And they were going crazy. He got a hero's welcome. In Lexington, they wanted him gone. And the guy that Cal replaced has been to the Final Eight two of the last 3 years, where Cal hasn't even been seen around there.
No.
Everything is perception in the world we live in. Right? It's just so much perception. It's remarkable. You know, he got to hear. I mean, look, MacArthur didn't get this kind of welcome when he came back from the Far East.
And Michael, the perception is right now that who wants the Kentucky job? We just keep hearing more and more head coaches declining the opportunity. Scott Drew, the latest, he's staying at Baylor. So what's going to happen there in Lexington, Kentucky? I don't know. We got one more here I want to hit you with, because our boy Elliot has turned the page from the Purdue Boilermakers to his Indianapolis Colts. And apparently Anthony Richardson is on a mission in his comeback, has a video out there of him back out there on the practice field. News or noise, Michael, that he is on a mission?
Well, I think it's news. Look, I think the number one objective for the Colts is to make him a passer. Because if he's going to keep running around, it's going to be hard. Right? It's going to be hard. And I think the number one objective for Shane Steichen is to get the offense tailored to where he is a passer, not a six-back runner. And I think that's going to be critical. But this kid's got enormous amounts of talent. And I said this, I thought he should have gone back to school for one more year, and he probably would have been the first pick in the draft or the second. But he got picked so high, it didn't matter for him to go back to school. You know. And I think ultimately this is the year where we're going to see all that potential. Is it real, or is it, you know, the situation where, you know, you are where, you know, potential has two meanings to the word, right? We know that. And so I think that is the case, and we'll see how it works out.
Potential can make you optimistic, or it can just mean you haven't done anything yet. According to ESPN's Stephen Holder, he's up to 30 to 40 throws per day during his shoulder rehab. He said, I've never had to wait this long to get back to playing football. I'm on a mission this year. Once that mission's complete, then I'll be good. We're hitting the break. VSiN's own Mike Somich joining us coming up next. Don't go anywhere. This is the Lombardi.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free. Just sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match that public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. But take advantage of the limited time offer, VSiN.com/splits. That's how you can get 2 weeks free looking at our VSiN betting splits page. We are back here on the Lombardi Line, live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Michael out there at his home office in Jersey, as we welcome in via the Progressive guest line, great friend of the show, Mike Somich, VSiN host of The Handle every weekend here, 9 to 12 Pacific, 12 to 3 Eastern on VSiN and DraftKings Network. And it is officially the start of the Masters, even though I know we were pushed back a couple of hours, though. Those star players all out there on the course. It is a great day to have a great day. How are we doing, Mike?
We're doing great. I love the Masters. This is one of the golf tournaments I really enjoy watching. I can't wait to see what we get on Sunday. And the whole goal with Masters betting for me, any golf betting, really, I just want a Sunday sweat. I just want to feel it a little bit there when we get to Sunday with one of these outright players. Played a couple top fives. I played Brooks Koepka plus 360 top five. I played Will Zalatoris plus 750 top five. But then I played a couple long shots. Played a little Dustin Johnson at 40-1. I realized not golfing as well as he has in the past, but a past champion. And run well here at the Masters before. So hopefully we just have a couple sweats going into Sunday.
Mike, let me ask you, you were like a lot of people here at VSiN that you bet a lot of different sports. And for me, I focus mostly on, I don't bet, but I focus on the NFL, college football, and the NBA. So what is your methodology in terms of when you shift from hockey to golf? I mean, what's your process in handicapping golf as opposed to some of the other sports?
Well, for me, a big part of the process is understanding if you're trying to bet to make money or you're trying to bet to have fun. And with the Masters, with golf, it's betting to have fun. I'm not playing nearly the same unit size. I'm not taking, big positions because I don't know as much about golf. So I rely on other people when I'm handicapping. I listened to the Long Shots podcast this week with Matt Brown, who I'm jealous. He's at the Masters this weekend. Listen to a couple other podcasts of people that I trust. I read some articles over on VSiN.com and kind of formulated opinion about that. And like I said, for me, it's about getting to the sweat there. I'm not playing the Masters to try and really increase my bankroll in a large way. I'm playing the Masters for enjoyment. I think that's important for people to understand, is that you can bet to have fun and you can bet to make money. There are two completely different ways to bet, and you don't need to bet the same amount on every game that you're playing or every sport that you're playing. So for me, the big outcomes this week won't be the Masters. It will be the NHL. It will be some baseball plays, but it will not be golf. But at the same time, I'm going to watch the Masters. I enjoy betting. I enjoy watching it. I'm going to bet on it. And that's kind of how my philosophy is with some of these other sports that I'll attack that I don't have, nearly as much depth of knowledge on.
I think that's a great perspective and a reminder, too, because we talk so much on this network about bankroll management, that the unit sizes are completely different for sports that you're not completely dialed into. But like you and I, we're going to be sitting on the couch this week watching the Masters, and you want to have a little bit of a sweat while you're watching it. And I think that's great. I'm right there with you. I've got my Tiger to make the cut and a couple of those outrights that just hopefully you have something that you can root for into the weekend. But also, 2 weeks from now is the start of the NFL draft. And that's a whole nother thing when it comes to the way that you have to bet that event. It's not like your normal prep for a game. You're really relying on insiders and different avenues to get information for how you make those bets. What is your involvement in NFL draft betting?
I get pretty involved in the NFL draft, we'll put it that way. But it's a portfolio for me. Look, because of the style of it, it's informational. It's not an actual game. So you're betting on information. You're not betting on the results or the outcome of a field, which means that in certain scenarios, I'm willing to lay big minuses. I have a Caleb Williams first overall ticket minus 600. I was happy to lay 600 because, look, there's not a lot of scenarios where he doesn't go number one. Now we're seeing that juice to the moon in that spot. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna kind of combine intuition with kind of the information that I'm able to get. And I'll do that by looking at mock drafts. I'll read about prospects. And then I'll look at specific teams, what they've done in the past, which teams have been surprising, which have not. And then you try and read the tea leaves. Like, look, a lot of people believe the reason the Vikings went up and got a second number one pick was because they want to move up for a quarterback. If that's the case, if you either see the Cardinals or Chargers move out of that four or five spot, you're going to see four quarterbacks there in the top five, and you need to make sure you adjust your bets accordingly. And so, I have a Drake May set third overall pick plus 175 ticket in. I would love at some point for information to come in and Drake May to get buzzed into the two spot, so I can play Jaden Daniels third overall pick and have both of them at plus money. What you're trying to do with the draft is use the information to create a portfolio. And one of the keys about draft betting, don't necessarily chase the steam. I mean, we saw last year with Levis, and a Reddit thread moves him all the way up to the number two pick. Well, that was actually an opportunity to bet other people. And that's kind of how you have to sift through this information, is understand when you should buy the news and when you should sell the news so that you can get the best price available on what you believe is the most likely outcome.
So the most likely outcome for me is I think five quarterbacks go in the first round. Mel Kiper put out his draft today, mock draft. I think it's 7.6. I don't know how they quantify them all, but 22.3. But anyway, he put out his mock today, and he has both Penix and Bo Nix going in the second round. That's not what I hear, but he obviously has his sources too. So have you made a bet on over four in the tournament? In the draft, I'm sorry.
I have not bet it. Generally, what you see is that this always goes under. I think it's like six of the last 7 years we've seen under number quarterbacks drafted in the first round go under. And 4.5 is a very interesting number, because I would be shocked at this point. Not that I agree with it. I would be shocked if you don't see four quarterbacks going in the first five picks, because McCarthy and the buzz around him and teams being interested, like the Giants at six most likely take him if no one trades up above there. So you got to assume there's four in the top six picks. And then the question comes down to Penix and Nix. I wouldn't personally take Bo Nix in the first round. I feel like he is a second rounder. I think Penix is the very interesting case here. My issue, Michael, is if I see Penix taken, it feels like he's going to get taken at the back end of the first round. Even if it's Knicks, it's going to be the back end of the first round. So 24 to 32, somewhere in that range. A lot of those teams need offensive linemen and need wide receivers. And this is a deep offensive lineman and wide receiver draft. I don't think any of them are necessarily going to trade out of that spot unless you get someone who is really offering you quite a bit for it. And so I find it hard to believe that they're going to pass up on taking what could be a player that could play for them for 4, 5, 6 years at either the O-line position or the wide receiver position, unless someone really comes in hot for one of those quarterbacks. So I would lean toward just the four going in the first round. But that's mainly because of how it's set up at the back end of that first round.
Interesting all around. VSiN's Mike Somich joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. And as you look ahead to this week and beyond, it's the final couple days winding down in the NBA regular season. The NHL regular season is closing in as well. We're going to figure out all of those playoff seedings here very, very soon. How does that change your perspective, if at all, when you're betting some of these games one by one? And we've got a full slate of hockey coming up today. So any best bets that you want to give out as well?
That's a great transition, Stormy. I actually wrote an article on VSiN.com on Monday about betting the last couple weeks of these seasons. And both of them, I think you have to look at understanding not just who is in the playoff race, but who is locked into their playoff seed. You'll see NBA teams, NHL teams, sit goalies, sit key players if they're locked into their spot. I'm not just talking like Boston in the one. I'm also talking like Golden State in the 10. They're going to sit Curry a couple times down the stretch so that they make sure he is ready to go for those playing games. In hockey, you're going to see third string goalies in some of these games because that is the one position you don't want to risk to injury. Most of the lineups will be normal, but the goalie situation could be a little different. You also want to look toward early unders and late overs in some of these games. We've seen NHL teams pull their goalie with as much as 10 minutes left in the third period because they have to get points. We've seen the Wild pull their goalie in overtime because they needed the 2 points. So you have to pay attention to what teams are being aggressive because of where they're sitting in the standings. As far as tonight, two best bets in the NHL for me. Let's lay the goal and a half with the Sabres. They're taking on the Washington Capitals. And it's interesting, Patrick Mayo, host of Sharp Money, brought this up yesterday to me. There was an interview with a Caps coach talking about how bad the Sabres matchup was for them. I went back and watched the game on April 2nd. I couldn't agree with him more. The Sabres were able to dominate that game on both ends of the ice. They won that game 6-2, getting a monster price, plus 185 to lay the goal and a half. So I'll lay it with the Sabres tonight. And then the Wings against the Penguins, another one I like in the NHL. We just talked about how games could be different depending on playoff seeding. Both these teams tied with 84 points, fighting for the last two spots in the Eastern Conference playoffs. This is going to be a tight game, especially in the first period. The Penguins, the number one team in the NHL in first period unders this season. I'll take the first period under a goal and a half, plus 110 in this spot. I think you're going to see playoff-style hockey in Pittsburgh tonight with both of these teams not wanting to fall behind.
Mike, real quick before you go, the DraftKings put out the number. Green Bay and Philadelphia down there in Brazil, San Pablo, 1.5. What's your first instinct on that number?
Oh, man, this is a tough game because Green Bay is getting all the buzz. Philly, people forget, was 11-1 last year at one point. It's still a very good Philadelphia team. They've got some retooling to do specifically on the defensive side. We'll see what happens in the draft if they make any moves. I would lean toward Philly just because, to me, that organization is a little tighter. And I expect that they're going to make moves. And it feels like this Packers team is just getting a little out of control. We're seeing Love 11-1, 12-1 to win MVP. They're 18-1 last I saw to win the Super Bowl. That's just too low for me. I think Philly is still the better team at the end of this game.
I heard Mark Murphy talking about the fan base, the Packers fan base in Sao Paulo, which I did not know existed, but apparently they've got a big contingent. Yeah. Who knew? Awesome
Packers
stuff, Mike.
You told me that today.
It's true. Awesome stuff. Appreciate you. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. You can earn a $500 bonus bet for every 1,000 you wager, up to $2,500 in bonus bets your first 3 days on DraftKings. Don't wait. Download the app now. You need to use our code Lombardi, though, when you sign up. L-O-M-B-A-R-D-I. Earn $500 in bonus bets for every 1,000 you wager right now. And right now on the Lombardi Line, We're going to do a little bit of a role reversal here. 2 weeks
Absolutely.
In a row. We're going to do this once a week where, Michael, you put the host hat on a little bit here.
Yeah. Absolutely. And let me start by saying, as soon as we did this last week, I got a text from somebody in the National Football League and said, boy, that girl really knows her stuff. So this is long overdue here on the Lombardi Line. We appreciate Stormy being the host, but she also provides some incredible information. So let's start with the Masters, Stormy. It begins today. Everybody's excited. But in your warning, you believe that everybody loves to bet the long shots, but don't go too far down the odds boards.
Yes. So I love, by the way, that this is a storm warning after we had a storm weather delay at the Masters today. But my warning here is, yeah, just don't feel like you have to chase a long shot at the Masters this year specifically. I know that in the past, it's been profitable, right? You think about Hideki Matsuyama in 2021, cashing a 46-1, Patrick Reed in 18, a 50-1. It's not an exact science. The last four winners were all first-time winners. But this year feels different because of who these favorites are. And sometimes, Michael, when you look at an odds board, the favorites are the favorites for a reason. Scottie Scheffler yep. has been remarkable this year. He's a plus 450 favorite. I know that we're running the risk of his wife going into labor and him potentially leaving, but he is the favorite at this number for a reason. He's priced like prime Tiger. Why? Because that's the level that he's playing right now. He's won two of his last three starts, top five in five of his eight PGA Tour starts in 2024. He's the top golfer in the world and a recent former Masters champion, put on his first green jacket in 2022. These long shots are fun, and I'll never say don't bet what you believe in, but sometimes the short shots are short shots for a reason, and I just wouldn't get too far down the board for the Masters this year, in my opinion.
No, and I agree. Nobody sneaks up on the Masters. This course has a certain style that's required to win, and that's why we see repeat winners, green jackets. I agree. I think your warning is well taken, because this is a hard course to dominate the first time you play or even the second. So let's shift over to another sport that I thought had a resurgence, and it's been building for years now, and we saw it come forward with women's college basketball. South Carolina had a historic season going undefeated, beating Iowa. I mean, I read today where Caitlin Clark was responsible for $82 million of benefits around the tournament, people spending money at these cities. So we know the ratings are incredible. We know that people are captivated by the women's basketball game. What's your warning going down the road?
So my warning here is that Michael, my biggest picture talking about this is that I have been so excited for the women's game and where it's at right now, right? And you think about the historical ratings that this Iowa South Carolina game set, outrating the men's game by a mile. 18.7 million average viewers peaked at over 24. Yet, as I am looking through my timeline every day here, it's so much negativity in terms of Caitlin Clark's game's not going to translate to the next level. She's going to have to face grown women and she's going to take a step down. Oh, nobody's going to care about women's college basketball anymore after Caitlin Clark leaves. Nobody's going to follow her to the WNBA. Da 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 da. Like, instead of just sitting here celebrating and embracing what has been a monumental historic accomplishment for women's basketball, that this year the women's game had significantly more star power than the men's game. Not only Caitlin Clark, but Angel Reese and Cameron Brink and Paige Beckers. And the fact that there has been exposure to some of these very young and talented freshmen that are coming up in the game, most notably Juju Watkins of USC. And the fact that people, like, yes, the ratings are going to take a dip after Caitlin Clark is no longer in college basketball. But isn't that what happens whenever you make history doing something? Instead of erring on the side yep. of negativity, can't we just be happy that it happened? Can't we just be happy that people that have never cared to watch women's basketball cared this year, and that national championship was must-watch television for our country?
I agree. And look, here's the reality too, is because the women's players, they come back. And so you get comfortable knowing who's in the game and you start following them. And that helps the game. With this one and done, you really don't have it. Every year is a new year. As Cal said, look, there's no team here. So I think you're right. And that allows the game to have a sense of belonging and grow. All right, so let's go back to the NFL. All right, one of the things I wrote about in my book, Football Done Right, is the worst trade you make mm-hmm. is get this guy out of the building. So what's your warning to the Buffalo Bills? And what's your advice for Bills fans?
So I'm not going to pretend like Stephon Diggs' talent isn't going to be missed, because obviously it will, right? You look at the last four seasons in Buffalo, he led the NFL in receptions, was fourth in receiving yards and receiving touchdowns in that time. But you know what will not be missed, Michael, is a diva that's on the decline. And you think about the tumultuous relationship that has been clear and evident that he's had with Josh Allen and with the team. I just think getting out of that locker room, it's going to be addition by subtraction for the Buffalo Bills. I mean, his play even has taken a step back. We've talked about it a lot on this program. He didn't have a 100-yard game after week six of last season. His yards per game dipped. And while I know his role changed under the new coordinator, just because your targets are slightly lower doesn't mean your efficiency with those targets shouldn't be what it has always been. And so to me, I don't know. I say if you're Buffalo, go get a wide receiver in the draft. Go get Brian Thomas down there at 28, if or likely when he's available that there to pair up with Curtis Samuel and Dalton Kincaid, who's developing at tight end. And yeah, there's going to be a lot on the shoulders of Josh Allen, but given the division with which they play and the ifers in the Jets, who I don't think anybody right now can firmly count on that roster staying and being healthy. The Miami Dolphins, who have significant issues, especially defensively. And when you think about everything that they're giving up to sign Tua Tagovailoa to a contract, and they can't beat a good team. And then the Patriots being on the outside looking in, don't just auto fade the Buffalo Bills because they don't have Stephon Diggs anymore. I think it could be a good thing for that locker room.
You know, I think you're right. Subtraction is good. And we make such a big deal. You know, the quarterback's the point guard, Stormy. And the point guard gets the ball to the receivers. And what we saw with Patrick Mahomes was willing to do to win a Super Bowl, it's almost like we have amnesia. We don't remember that he made the difference in the team and made the receivers better. So I agree. I don't think it's all doom and gloom for Buffalo. I really don't. I think Bills fans should just embrace the fact that culture matters in the locker room. Let's stay on this football trend. The most discussed topic, obviously, is the quarterbacks in every draft. And there are plenty of teams that are looking for a franchise guy. But give us the warning about trading up. And I think people should listen to this clearly. Teams, I mean, not people.
Historically, it has not been your friend. If you are trading up in the NFL draft to take a quarterback at 2, 3, or 4. So I'm talking to you Giants. I'm talking to you Vikings. If you're going to trade up to get into that upper echelon to pick your quarterback, here are the results historically for those who have done so. Trey Lance, Sam Darnold, Mitch Trubisky, Carson Wentz, RG3, and Ryan Leaf. Do with that information what you will, but it doesn't smell success if you're talking to me. Also, the last time that quarterbacks went top 10, that four quarterbacks went top 10 was 2018. The results there: Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, and Josh Rosen. We have one of those that works out. Lamar Jackson was on the outside looking in at 32. These players that are reached for in the top of the draft, the majority of them do not work. The last time we had quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3 in a draft, 2001, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, also in that first round, Mac Jones and Justin Fields. Reaching for these quarterbacks does not always work. In fact, it works a whole hell of a lot less often than it does work out, and him being your franchise quarterback, generational talent that we love to throw around. So just, I know that none of these teams are listening to me today, but be cautious, okay, that you're going to have a problem solver quarterback draft when you trade up for number 4 and JJ McCarthy.
They should listen to you because the facts don't lie. History tells us. We know if 5 go in the first round, 3 will be bust, and there's a good chance that 4. And there's even a better, there might be a chance that all 5. So I think your warnings should be taken note of, Stormy. There's no question.
It's just one of those things, Michael, that I feel like we get so excited and attached to these players. And honestly, I think Minnesota might be the best landing spot for a quarterback to go to with all of the talent and weapons around them. But when we're talking about these players as if they are day one, surefire starters, going to change the trajectory of your franchise, more often than not, it doesn't work out.
And what's your warning for bettors out there in the draft market?
Yeah, I would just say, great example of shopping around and trying to figure out different opportunities to bet the same thing, because there are so many different markets, specifically up at DraftKings. Make sure you're doing your due diligence, because you can bet the same prop for different prices depending on the market with which you bet. Bo Nix, a great example. He was minus 115 on the odds board yesterday to be drafted in the first round, yet his over-under position prop was 32.5, and the under was plus 120. It's the same bet. You're getting a plus money price on one and a minus number on the other. Specifically, the Broncos are the team that we talk about most going to, and he's plus 175 there. So just think all this through as you're making your wagers. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line.